scan it.
I can't.
Okay.
Because if I do,
don't worry about it.
It goes off the page. Well, see?
Okay, yeah, that's good.
No, that's better. You see it.
Okay, anyway, in the Gemara, we're on nearing the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We have 6.5 plot to go. My goal is I want to finish this Masechta by New Year's, which is 2 months, which you can do it because...
and then the Jewish New Year?
No, New Year's, January 1st. I want to finish by January 1st and then maybe try something a little bit bolder after. We'll see. Anyway, we're in the middle of a teaching of Reb Shimon. If you recall, our Mishnah, way back, our Mishnah discussed if a person eats Bikurim, a Kohen eats Bikurim before the Jew read the verses of Arami Ovidov, he gets lashed. The Gemara said, who is this like? We said, so one person said it was like Rabbi Akiva, because the Chachamim argue on him. And the Gemara says, well, why don't you say it's Rabbi Shimon, who also says that? And they said, you're right, it's also Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. And we brought a Bryce Rabbi Shimon to show us this point. Rabbi Shimon took this pasuk that we're going to look at again, where the Torah says, maybe I'll just make it bigger each part at a time. The Torah says, Lo sucha lecho bisharecha, you may not eat the following things in your gates, meaning outside of Yerushalayim. And it goes through the list. Maser degoncha, that's your miser sheni, which we know obviously means you can't eat outside of Yerushalayim. Vesiroshcha v'yitzarecha, that's the grain and the oil and the wine. Then ubechoros, then the firstborn of bekorcha v'tzoncha, your sheep and cattle. Then v'chol nidareh, and all your vows, asher tidor, which you will vow. V'nid vosech, and the other types of vows. Utrumas yotcha, and the truma of your hands. That's what the pasuk were saying. So what Reb Shimon did was, he went and learned the psukim backwards, and he said the following premise. He says, well, the simple meaning is, the Torah is saying you can't eat all these things outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. But then he goes backwards, starting from Trumas Yodecha, which is talking about Bikurim, and says, I don't need you to tell me that I can't eat Bikurim outside of the gates of Yerushalayim, because I know that from a Kal Vachomer from Meister Sheni. And therefore it's coming to teach me that if Bikurim are eaten with no Kriya, without reading the Psukim, then you get lashed. That's the part that we needed to show that our Tana, the Mishnah, is like Reb Shimon. But then he moved on and learned other things as well. And he learned that Nidvosecha, right? So Nidvosecha is the Toda and the Shlomim. And I don't need to tell me that they're eaten outside Yerushalayim. I don't need to know that. So it tells me what? That if you eat it before the blood is sprinkled, then you get lashed. You can't eat it beforehand. All right? Then we move on to Bechoros, the Bechor. So what do I need Bechor for? Not to tell me outside Yerushalayim. And... not before this Rika, because I already know it from a Kal Vachomer from the other case. So it teaches us after this Rika, you get lashed. And then we talked about the other things as well. And there's one left to talk about. Okay, and that's the final one that we're up to. So we've done 4 out of 5. So now we're on the last one. Nidorecha zu'olo. That's the last one that we have. Nidorecha zu'olo is this one on the left. Okay. Nidorecha is talking about an ola. That's usually the vow. A nidava is usually a toter shlamim. The nidorecha is a korban ola. So what's that coming to teach us? So again, it's going to go through, it's going to be a good summary of all the halachas that we learned. So nidorecha zu'olah, that's an olah. So you can't eat an olah outside of Yerushalayim? I don't need to know that. Reb Shimon says, Uma boz elmana, what's the pasuk coming to teach us? Is it just coming to tell me, if you eat it outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, is that what it's telling me? Kal v'chomer Meiser. I know that it's a Kal v'chomer from Meiser. All right? And if you want to tell me, it's telling me, im lifnei zrika, if I can't eat it before the blood is sprinkled, kal v'chomer mi toter shlomim. I already know that from the Toter and Shlomim, that you can't eat it before the blood is sprinkled. And if you want, it says, im la'achar zrika, if it's for a non-kohen eating it after the sprinkling is done, kal v'chomer b'chor. I already know that from a b'chor. And if you want to tell me, im chutz l'kohen, if eating it outside of the azara, if you eat it, you're going to get lashed. Kal v'chomer chatas l'arshan. I know that from a kal v'chomer chatas l'arshan. So what's left to tell me? Hold up, because of the pasuk is only coming to teach me, going up to the top of Yud Zayin Mabez. Ela la ochel min ha'ola la achar zrika afil bifnim. If you eat the ola, even after it's sprinkled, even inside the courtyard, but you'll get lashed. Shehu loke, that you get lashed. Okay? Now, again, the Torah in other places, because you're not supposed to eat an ola gets completely burnt. So everywhere else, the Torah says positively, it's supposed to be entirely burnt. Torah says an ola should be entirely burnt, but it doesn't say thou shall not eat the ola.
Yeah.
So that tells me you get lashed for the ola. So you see what he did? He learned all these halachas by jumping around, right? Going back and forth, saying, well, it couldn't tell me. The starting point is that we know the pashup shot is you can't eat Ma'aser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. So then we say, well, Bikurim, I don't need it to know that. That's a Kal V'chomer. So I said, well, if you eat it before you read the Psukim. And then we moved on with all the others of the Toda, the Shlamim, the Bechor, the Chatas, and the Asherim, and finally the Ola, where each one doesn't have any new insight because the previous one already taught us that insight, and that's how he built up all the cases. So now what Reb Shimon did is he extracted five new laws from the simple pshat, right? Starting with the purple one, really going backwards, remember? Starting with the black one, Trumas Yodcha, Mitzvah Bikurim. If you eat the Bikurim without reading it, you're going to get lashed from that. And then going backwards to Nidvo Secha, the Totem Shlamim, which you eat it before the Zrika, you get lashed. And then going back to, well, then he didn't go completely back, but then Bechoros, if you eat the Bechor after the Zrika, you get lashed if you're a non-Kohen. And Bokar and Son, it's a Chatzis and Oshem, even if you are a Kohen, but you eat it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the last one, Nidorecha, as the Ola, that even if the Kohen eats it after the Zrika and inside the Azara, but if he eats it, he gets lashed, even though we know it's supposed to be completely burnt, but there's no negative commandment to it that he gets lashed. So that's where Reb Shimon learned, but it was all based on Kal V'chomer, one Kal V'chomer building on another Kal V'chomer. So therefore, each one has a new law, which is totally not the simple pshat in the pasuk. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that you can't eat these outside Yerushalayim. But once you determine, I know I can't eat Ma'aser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, and all the others are stricter than that one, then I don't need to be taught you don't eat it outside Yerushalayim. So it has to come to teach me something. So it's coming to give me a different negative commandment for the different situations for which one would get lashed for that. That was the teaching of Reb Shimon. The main point of bringing this whole brisa was for the last case of the black of Trumas Yodcha, Bikurim, which it's not coming to teach me outside of Yerushalayim, because I know that from a Kal V'chomer from Ma'aser Sheni. It's coming to tell me if I eat the Kohen, eats the Bikurim before the Jew reads the Psukim, he gets lashed. And that was what our Mishnah said. Okay, this is the teaching of Reb Shimon. Now the Gemara is going to analyze this whole complex deductive process of Reb Shimon here. And Rav is going to come along, on the one hand, praising Reb Shimon's brilliance, but destroying his logic afterwards. Amar Rava comes along, Rava, and he comments on Reb Shimon's exposition. He says, Dilida ime, one whose mother is giving birth to him, all right, if someone is a mother giving birth to him, Karabi Shimon Tele, she should pray that she give birth to one like Rav Shimon. It's a woman should always pray. If you're going to have a child, it should be like Rav Shimon. Okay? Ve'ilo, and if not, right? Lo Tali, she shouldn't give birth to him.
Wow.
In other words,
all or nothing.
Ritva deletes the words, these words. If not, she should not give birth to him, since there are many worthy degrees below Rav Shimon's exalted level. Okay, anyway, but he's basically praising, wow, if you have a kid, you should have like Rav Shimon, because he's a genius.
Okay, just put this praise in?
No, he's just saying, that was an amazing shot he just said.
Praising Rav Shimon.
The way he analyzed that pasuk by going backwards, if you went forwards, you wouldn't have been able to deduce this. Right? You really make the deduction because it's by jumping around and each one, well, it can't tell me that. I know a Kal V'chomer from this. The last one was based on four Kal V'chomers to finally understand what the Pasuk of Ola is coming to teach us. So he was brilliant in, as we'd say, the chap. In other words, to jump around to get it. However, not what's it. V'yaf al-gav, even though they slay pircha, I can refute every one of his Kal V'chomers that he just said.
What?
Now, remember, we did not specify what the Kal V'chomers were. I said, we're going to get to it. So again, the Braisa, cryptic. Rav Shimon says, well, this is what this word means, and I know this from a Kal V'chomer. This is what this one. He didn't tell us what the Kal V'chomer was. So now, what Rav is going to do, he's going to say, okay, now we're going to really analyze, get into the weeds, and claim, what was that Kal V'chomer from Bikurim, from Maaser Sheni? Well, that was the logic of the Kal V'chomer. Well, I could break that Kal V'chomer. And each one, he subsequently breaks them all. That's what he's going to do. Now we're going to wonder what's going to happen with Reb Shimon's teaching.
Right.
Well, we'll see. So this is going to take more than one session, guys. Maybe by tomorrow we'll finish it. But that's the way things are going. So what's going to happen is there were five Kal V'chomer stated, but he didn't say what they were. So now we're going to go through each five, and each one he's going to knock off. If you don't have any Kal V'chomers, then I guess it would seem you couldn't learn any of these brilliant things, and we're left to the simple pshat in the pasuk that it's all teaching us just one thing: can't eat outside Yerushalayim. We will see. So my chumra to Bikurim and my. So let's start with the first teaching. We've been talking about Bikurim. We said Bikurim can't be speaking about just eating Bikurim outside of the walls of Yerushalayim that you go lash, because I already know that from a Kal V'chomer of Maaser, from Maaser Sheni. Why? Well, let's think about in what way is Bikurim stricter than Maaser Sheni? That would say a Kal V'chomer. You tell me. In what way is Bikurim stricter than Maaser Sheni?
Stricter.
Stricter. Has a stringency. Maaser doesn't. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Who can eat it? Okay, who could eat Maaser Sheni?
Anyone
who's tahor. Uh-huh. Anyone who's tahor. Who can eat Bikurim? Only a Kohen who's tahor. Yeah. So I see a stringency that Bikurim has over Maaser Sheni. Yeah. If Maaser Sheni can be eaten by anybody, and it cannot be eaten outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, then Truma, which can only be eaten by a Kohen, which you already see has a stringency, then for sure it has to be eaten inside Yerushalayim. That's the Kal V'chomer that he is going to use. You may break the Kal V'chomer, but that is the Kal V'chomer he's going to say. As he says, Shekain Asurim Lazarim, that Truma is prohibited to non-Kohanim. And therefore, Bikurim is prohibited to non-Kohanim. That's stricter than Maaser Sheni. So now I have a Kal V'chomer from that. To which Rava says, but now if you could find a stringency that Bikurim has over Maaser Sheni, they don't have a Kal V'chomer anymore. So he finds an interesting stringency that Maaser Sheni has that Bikurim does not have. And that will break the Kal V'chomer, one that none of you will be able to guess. Adarabi says the opposite. Maaser Chomer. Maaser Sheni is stricter than that. Because look at this. Maaser Sheni, Shekain Oser La'onein. An onein is a person that when the person's close relative dies and they have not yet buried the dead, that's the most intense form of mourning, where you're exempt from mitzvahs, for example. So what do we know about an onen? An onen may not eat Bikurim. Okay?
Only during that period.
Okay, but still, an onain has an exclusion where bikurim can be eaten by an onain. I'm sorry, let's do that again. Yes, I was right. Meiser Sheni is prohibited to an onain, where bikurim is permissible. So I see Meiser Sheni is stricter than bikurim.
Just because of that.
Well, that it has a stringency that bikurim doesn't have. Right, that's the whole right. Now, it's whole machlokas if an onan can eat bikurim, but Reb Shimon permits it. So it's Reb Shimon l'shitasa. Okay, so therefore, so since Meiser Sheni is in this sense more stringent than bikurim, we cannot automatically extend to bikurim the prohibition against eating outside Jerusalem that is stated regarding Meiser Sheni. Thus, the mention of bikurim is necessary in its own context. The verse's explicit prohibition against eating outside Jerusalem and is not available for the additional prohibition against eating before its procedure is completed. Again, what was Reb Shimon's logic? He said, well, I already know Meiser Sheni can't eat outside Jerusalem, right? Why did Torah have to tell me bikurim can't be eaten in Jerusalem? I have a kal v'chomer, right? I have a kal v'chomer that it's stricter that only a kohen can eat it. So if only a kohen can eat it, then for sure you can't eat outside Jerusalem. So since I don't have it to teach me the simple pshat, I must have a new pshat. It's telling me to teach me that if the kohen eats it before the psukim are read. To which the Gemara now says, well, no, it's not such a good kal v'chomer because Meiser Sheni has a stringency that bikurim doesn't have. That what an onain can't eat Meiser Sheni while an onain can't eat bikurim. So now I don't have a kal v'chomer, so now I have to go back and say that the pasuk is meant literally that you cannot eat bikurim outside of Yerushalayim. And now that's it. Now we don't have that extra teaching that Reb Shimon wanted to learn. You see how we broke that teaching?
You see how it does it, but it's very specific. I mean, it's...
What?
Rabbi Shimon said very specific.
He said, good.
A general rule, it was right.
He said, we can't learn it simply because we have a kal v'chomer. To which the Gemara says, we don't have a kal v'chomer.
No, I understand the logic.
Right?
Lemons and oranges, they're both citrus.
Again, let's go back to the simple reading of the pasuk. Lo sucha lecho bisharecha. You cannot eat it in your own gates. You can't eat it outside your shalayim. What? Maser de Goncha, Meiser Sheni. You can't eat outside of Shalim. Simple reading of the pasuk. All the things mentioned in this pasuk is only being prohibited that you can't eat it outside Yerushalayim. Reb Shimon says, no. We're not going to say that because Trumas Yodecha, which is Bikurim, I know that from a kal v'chomer because it's stricter that only a kohen can eat it. So I don't need it to teach me Meiser Sheni, Bikurim outside the walls, must become to tell me that if Bikurim, without reading the words, you get lashed. To which Rava says, I'm sorry, as brilliant as your analysis is, it's not a legitimate kal v'chomer, because Meiser Sheni has a stringency that Bikurim doesn't have, which an onain can't eat Meiser Sheni, but an onain can eat Bikurim. So once you see that Meiser Sheni has its own stringency, you don't have a kal v'chomer anymore. So what do? Learn the pasuk simple, that you can't eat bikurim outside Yerushalayim. And we don't learn this extra law, that bikurim, if they're read before the reading, get lashed. That's how he knocked off kal v'chomer number one. You follow here?
Yep.
Okay, well, he's going to do this to all five. That's all that's going to happen now. It's the same.
Why does it get so complicated? Everyone criticizes it. Don't get complicated. Don't.
What do you mean? It's all about that. Life is complicated. Can you tell me anything in life that's simple?
It is complicated, but people don't want to hear your complications.
No. Adarab, you're supposed to want to hear it.
Just trying to understand that if you... For more stringent in any kol v'chomer, if something's more stringent in one area but less stringent in another area, that means you can't.
That's right. It's got to be completely stronger. In other words, it got to be totally equal. But the one thing has a stringency, the other thing doesn't have. Oh, so I see this is stricter than this. But once I have two things, and one is stricter in one area, and one is stricter in another area, then I can't say one is stricter than the others. That breaks a kal v'chomer.
Like in this case, I think Steve said it. The one that's more stricter is a much rarer situation.
Yeah.
In this case, an onan
doesn't matter.
A small period of time, a rare situation.
Doesn't matter. If A is stricter than B, it should be stricter in every way.
Even though B is very uncommon.
Well, it's not uncommon. Everybody's an O name. Every Cohen will be an O name at least twice in his life.
Yeah. Okay, but it's less common than the other stringency.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Okay. Commonality doesn't matter at all.
Okay.
You know, it's are you permitted to eat it or not? That's all. Okay, now we move on to the next one. So now he wanted to say now umay chumra de toda ushlamim imaiser. Now we moved on to the toda and shlamim. Okay, and the simple meaning would have said you can't eat a korban toda shlamim outside the walls of Yerushalayim. But he says I don't need to know that because I have a kal v'chomer again from Meiser Sheni again from Meiser Sheni. So now what's going to be the stringency for that? Okay. So originally, well, the stringency is shekein to unim matan domim ve'emurim legabi mizbeach. There's a stringency that a toda and a shlamim require you to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, to put sacrificial parts on the mizbeach, which you don't have to do by Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni, you just bring your shalayim, eat it.
Yeah.
All right? A korban toda and a shlamim, you just can't bring it to your shalayim and eat it. Right? You've got to give away some to God. You got to sprinkle some of the blood on the mizbeach. You have to have certain sacrificial parts on the mizbeach. So he sees a stringency. You can't have the whole thing. You got to give some of it away. So that's the stringency. So therefore, I don't need to be told I can't eat it outside Yerushalayim because I already know it's stricter than
Meiser Sheni.
So he's going to say, I'm going to show you a stringency that Meiser Sheni has over this. Adaraba, Meiser Chomer, Meiser Sheni is stricter as well. Shekein to unim kesef tsura. Okay, if you want to redeem it. Now, let's say you want to redeem Meiser Sheni, or you want to redeem a korban toda or shlamim. So there's a stringency by redemption. If you want to redeem, you don't want to take all that Meiser Sheni Yerushalayim. It's a lot of food to take, so you redeem it. But there's a stringency in terms of redeeming this that has to be done with kesef tsura, with minted coins. Okay? Now, although redemption of sacred articles, let's say the korban toda and the shlamim, can generally be accomplished by substituting any item of value for them. If you want to redeem something from Hekdesh normally, you could say, whatever, let's say you gave an animal to the base of Minyan, I want to redeem it. So you take anything that's of legitimate value, let's say a piece of silver, not a coin, a piece of silver, something of value,
a bracelet of gold,
or let's say whatever, any item that could be sold at a market easily for money, you can redeem that. But the redemption of Meiser Sheni requires specifically its replacement with minted coins. That's the only thing that can be used. So there's a stringency that you're limited as to what you can redeem Meiser Sheni with.
What is that?
That's the Torah says so. This is alluded to in the Torah statement regarding the redemption of Meiser Sheni. Torah says it specifically somewhere else. Vitzarta hakesef. Literally, you shall bind up the redemptive money, which can be rendered as, and you shall engrave the silver. The redemption shall be performed with minted coins which bear an image. The redemption of toda or shlamim offerings, which is possible if they develop a blemish, you can't just stam redeem an animal that has a blemish, can be accomplished by substituting any item of value. So since Meiser Sheni is in this sense more stringent than the toda and shlamim offerings, we cannot automatically extend to them the prohibition against eating outside Jerusalem that is stated regarding Meiser Sheni. Don't have the kal v'chomer. For the same reason, we cannot extend the prohibition from Meiser Sheni to any of the other offerings that Reb Shimon mentioned. Okay? So therefore, we can't have a kal v'chomer for toda and shlamim. So we go back to what? The simple pshat in the pasuk. That you can't eat it outside Yerushalayim. And it's not coming to teach me that if you eat it before the blood was sprinkled, you get lashed. That was the teaching they wanted to learn, right? That was the teaching he brought down.
Yeah.
of what did we say? Nidvos Secha, the brown. Tod and Shlomim. He thought he had a Kal Vachomer, so what's coming to teach me? If you eat it before the sprinkling, you get lashed. That's what it must be teaching us. It says, doesn't teach us that anymore. It just teaches us if you eat it outside Yerushalayim, you get lashed, as the simple meaning of the Pasuk would suggest. So he knocked off two out of the five. Next. Umay Churma Debachor. Now, that we said, now we're looking now at the Bechor from Tod and Shlomim. Now they know Tod and Shlomim. So now what's going to be the Chumrah of Bechor? And it says, well, Bechor is stricter than Tod and Shlomim. So we're already saying that it's stricter than Maaser Sheni. Out. We're now going to say the Bechor is stricter than a Tod and a Shlomim. If it's stricter than Tod and Shlomim, so what can it teach me? It can't be teaching and eating it before the sprinkling, because I know that from Tod and Shlomim. So I have a Kal Vachomer over that. So what is the, and therefore it taught me something else, right? What did the Bechor teach me? The Bechor taught me, whoopah, Bechoros, and the purple, if eaten after Zrika, if a non-Kohen eats a Bechor. If a non-Kohen eats a Bechor, that's what the Pasuk teaches me, even after the Zrika. That's what it's teaching me, because it's not teaching me outside Yerushalayim. It's not teaching me if you eat it before the Zrika, because it's a Kal Vachomer from the Toda and the Shlomim. So Gemara is going to break that Kal Vachomer. But first, what was the Kal Vachomer? What was the Kal Vachomer that Bechor had over a Toda Shlomim? What is the stringency that a Bechor has over a Toda Shlomim? Okay, when does a Bechor become holy? Firstborn animal. When does it become holy? At birth. Is there any other animal that's holy at birth? No, you have to sanctify it. Take a regular little sheep, you want to make it a korban tod or shlomim. A regular sheep that's independent is not holy. It's not holy. It's born, it's not holy. You must now do an action to say, I want you to be a korban tod or a korban shlomim. Now it becomes holy.
Not just because it's firstborn.
We're not talking about a firstborn now. We're talking about a regular sheep that's going to be used for a toda or a shlomim. How does it become used for a toda or shlomim? You can't just take a regular sheep and just bring it on the mizbeach. You can't do that. Yeah. You have to designate it. This is going to be a korban toda. This is going to be a korban shlomim. Now, it has a degree of sanctity. And even then, not until it's slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled. But the bechor has the sanctity at birth. That's astringency, right? So that's what we thought. This Bechor is stricter, so I must learn something else. Shekein kedushaso mirechem, that the Bechor is sanctified from the womb, where a korban shlomim only is when the owner decides to make it holy.
Can you
the Bechor becomes sacred automatically at the moment of its birth, whereas a Torah Shlomim is an ordinary animal birth and becomes sacred only from the time the owner consecrates an offering. So that's a stringency, so therefore must teach me a new law. Yeah? To which Gemara says, no, I'm going to show you that a Torah Shlomim is stricter than a Bechor, and that's going to fall that off. Adarabba, Torah Shlomim Chamura, Torah Shlomim is stricter, because what must the Torah Shlomim have in the process that a Bechor doesn't have to have? Shekein teunim smicha unesachim utenufas chos of ashok. When you bring a toner shlamim, you must do the following things. You must lean your hands on it before you bring the animal, number one. Number two, you have to bring certain libations with it. And number three, the coin has to wave the breast and the thigh of that animal. And that's all necessary by a Toda Shlomim, which is not necessary by a Bechor. That's a lot more work has to be put into it.
Yeah.
Before a Toda Shlomim is slaughtered, its owner is commanded to place his hands on his head and lean down with all strength, as explicitly said, blah, blah, blah. Also, Toda Shlomim must be accompanied by a prescribed amount of wine to support on the altar. Also, the breast and the right hind thigh of the Toda and Shlomim are removed along with the sacrificial parts and held by the kohen and owner together. They then wave these parts in all four directions and also up and down, etc., etc. None of these procedures are required for the Bechor. So you see a big stringency that it has. Again, thus we cannot accept Rav Shimon's argument that a prohibition stated regarding the Toda Shlomim extends automatically to the Bechor. Some we cannot accept his subsequent arguments that such a prohibition extends to the chatas and osham. Same thing, since these require only leading but not libations or waving, or to the ola, since it requires only leading and libations but not waving. So they're going to be all stricter than that as well. So you don't have any kal vachomer then as well. So we've knocked all that out. And now we move on to the next one of the chatas and the osham. The chatas and the osham. Chatas osham kal vachomer from what was before, if eaten by a kohen after zrika outside Jerusalem, outside the base of Migdash, which would be the new halacha, and we're saying why is that new halacha? Because I already know the other aspect from the offering that was mentioned before. Umay chumra the chatas osham, and what's the stringency? If I already know before, then how do I know? Then I automatically know chatas and osham that you can't then as well. So what did we think the strictness was? Well, the simple meaning is what? How is a chatas stricter than a osham? Shekein katshe kadoshim. It's katshe kadoshim. A chatas osham are katshe kadoshim, which can only eaten by a kohen, not by Yisrael. Only eaten in the Azor and not anywhere in Yerushalayim. And a bechor is katshe kalim, is a lighter form of kedusha. So therefore, for sure, I would apply any stringency that a bechor has. So he says, no, I have a stringency that a bechor has. Adarab again, bechor chamor. Why is the bechor stricter? As we said before, shekein kedusha merechem. It's holy from the womb, which the chatzashim doesn't have as well. No. So you don't have a kal vachomer of that. And the final kal vachomer that we use, umay chumer de ola. What was the stringency that the ola has over a chatas and osham that taught me the special law of the ola? Well, what's the, you know that shekein kol? It's completely burnt. And ola is, that's the only korban that's completely burnt. Nobody can eat anything, right? So that makes it stricter than a chatas and an osham that the kohen can eat it. Says no, Adarava, Chatas Asher Chamiri. The Chatas Asher are stricter because what do the Chatas Asher do that the Ola doesn't do? Shechein Machapre. They can atone for various transgressions while an Ola not. The Chatas is required as atonement for the unwitting transgression, any prohibition whose intentional violation is punished by course for a Shalgig. The Asher is required as atonement for the possible transgression of such a prohibition, as well as for certain other prohibitions. The ola, however, is primarily a voluntary offering. Most olas, it's just I want to give a gift to God. That's it. And although we are taught that one who offers an ola receives atonement for certain misdemeanors, Torah never obligates a person to bring an ola on account of a specific sin. Rather, it assures a person who offers it voluntarily that in the merit of pleasing God in the manner, his misdemeanor will be forgiven. But again, it's a big stringency that the ola is brought, that the chatas and asham are brought only for sins, only for kapara. And finally, and now Rava adds a final point, v'kulo chamir me'ola. And really the truth is, all the things that we mentioned before, they're all stricter than ola. The chatas, asham, the bechor, the tod, the shlamim, to which Rav Shimon was deriving the laws of ola, because each one is stricter than the other. He says, in one way, they're all stricter than ola, why? And you have no kal vachomers at all to anything. Dei speish teichlus, because all the others are consumed by two partners, man and God. Every other thing we mentioned, something goes on the mizbeach, and something goes to man. While the ola does not.
All gets burnt.
So now, the ola does not. So that's the stringency ola. So now, he blew all the kal vachomers out of the water. To which the Gemara now asks a simple question. Well, if you blew out all the kal vachomers, what were you praising him for? Remember, he started off by praising him?
Elamai,
delay de imek Reb Shimon. What did he mean? One whose mother is giving birth should give birth to Reb Shimon?
You're just trying to be complimentary.
But just blew him out. He says the answer is delamai de sphirlede, because given Reb Shimon's own line of reasoning, remember, based on his reasoning, how was he able to do that reasoning? By not learning the pasuk one word after, by not going in order, by going backwards. And since he was Mesaris Le Lakra, Vidarish Le, he inverted the pasuk and started from different places to say, well, if I'm going to know this, I already know it from that. So by teaching it backwards, he was able to come up with the idea, even though the logic he uses to make Kavah Chomers is wrong, but the idea of rearranging the reading of text. Had Reb Shimon expound the verse in the order in which the items are listed, first Maaser Sheni, followed by Bechor, etc., etc., he could not have arrived at the same results, because you don't have the Kavah Chomers lined up that way. So that was the genius of how to analyze this puzzle to figure out to build a structure took brilliance. But he made a mistake. The logic after the building of the structure didn't work. And that's why he's praised on the one hand and knocked off on the other. Now, so right now, we have a problem. I mean, we do say our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon did make this teaching of Bikurim from a Kavah Chomer. We've blown out the Kavah Chomer. So now we're stuck. How are we going to understand Reb Shimon? And there's going to be further questions asked on Reb Shimon, but we're at a very good stopping point now.
Could you not say that before?